Sweetheart is bleeding in the snow cone. So smart, she's leading me to ozone. Music, the great communicator. Used to sticks to make it in the nature.
And welcome to Bare Knuckles with fill-in hosts Jerry Hall and Lupus Hole, myself, and I am the producer. Anyway, if you come on over to the Trim Radio Network, we broadcast live all over the world. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. And we have so many good shows on there, all the way from America's Funniest Online Dates to this show, Bare Knuckles Radio Show by Angel Strong, who we're filling in for, the Fishing in Florida Show, Money and Change Radio Show, Red Pill Reality Show, Spiritual Freedom Show, Take Point 22 Radio Show, the Brighter Life Show. And I'm just telling you, they're going on and on from Slobberknocker all the way on over to Offsides, college football's top 25 plus 5, and that is wrapping up. But we'd love to have you, and we'd love to see you in our apparel. So if you come on over to the Trim Radio Network, I'll tell you what, you can shop, and it's still Christmas time, and we'd love to see you in our stuff. Anyway, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others, and any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise, and we always expect you to do your own research. Anyway, that great song right there, Can't Stop That, is from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And that's covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. We also have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. All we ask is there just no cussing, but we'd love to hear from you. Anyway, here is my co-host, Jerry, and we've got all kinds of stuff coming up. Jerry, how are you?
Good, doing great. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. I can hear you perfectly.
Well, great. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight because, man, the stuff's hit the fan right and left. I was just reading about the Pennsylvania School Board issue. I don't know if you're aware of this, where this woman gets on the school board, and the person that they're trying to elect for the new school board president is a critical race-based person. He wants to invoke critical race theory into the school board, and she voted against him. So everybody came up against her and said, well, she needs to be fired immediately. She needs to be terminated because she made a statement saying she couldn't vote for somebody that was going to teach critical race theory in the schools. And boy, she getting just hammered right and left. They're demanding her resignation. And this is absurd. Critical race theory is about hating people.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. And I mean, there's so much going on. But, you know, it's okay to teach our kids about transgender. It's okay to teach them, you know, to have these people come into schools without the parents knowing. Without the parents knowing in some cases. And we've seen some videos of it, and they're bragging about it. And the parents, you have no clue of what's going on with your children at school. Maybe it's time for you to start to investigate it and figure out what they are teaching your kids.
Well, the problem has been, now, I don't know if you saw the story that just came out just recently. A transgender person had been on the press, and she transitioned from a female to a male and is regretting it now.
The Navy SEAL.
Later age.
The Navy SEAL. Yeah.
Really upset with her life now and saying she was forced into this, pushed into it by her peers and by the LGB community. They were embracing her. It was a girl at the time who desperately needed friends.
I think she also had mentioned in that, and I read that article this morning, as a matter of fact, and it's out there. You know, you can find it on pretty much most of the news networks. But made a statement, okay, to where a psychologist turned that statement around on her when she said, well, I'm a tomboy. Oh, okay, you're a trans. And then gave it a name, and from there, manipulation took over and felt pressured, felt to do these, took the hormones, which changed everything, totally regrets this now, totally regrets it, and went on there to say, listen, I want to stop this because I wasn't in my right mind as a child. I wasn't in my right mind when this was coming out, and you know, went through with it, and now is mutilated. Okay, can't go back.
Right. Right.
And
she's regretting it horribly now because that's what our society is trying to do, is to force these kids into making these radical decisions when they're not even allowed to vote yet.
Well,
but, you know, and they're stopping. What's ironic, the schools are saying and the hospitals are saying, we're enforcing a child cannot get a tattoo, but he can have a sex change.
You know, Sherry and I were reading this thing where they had this, and the parents were bragging on Facebook, totally stoked our child is getting the hormone shots. And we were like, so because of your mental health affliction, you are now laying this out upon your child, the child that you are breaking the trust of because you were presented with a gift, and you're breaking that trust. And that's what this is. It's a breach of trust. And basically saying what you were given is not good enough, and now you want it to change. And you're doing it for your own attention, your own headlines. It's narcissistic.
And well, if you look at the people that are doing this to the children, they're usually misfits in society. They have had no attention in their lives. They're just, you know, always in the background, in the schools, always non-existent. Nobody paid attention. They weren't in the cliques. And so the only way to get attention is through their children now. And
yeah.
So it's like the prime example. I used to run beauty pageants all over the United States. And you would find the mother, like John Bonet
Ramsey,
whatever her name, Ramsey, the little girl that got killed. Her parents were so obsessed with her being a beauty pageant queen at the age of 5.
Yeah, that was the mother. The mother was the one.
Yeah, it was the mother.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. they want their children to live vicariously through them, or they want to live vicariously through their children. And so they push them into these bizarre, weird
ritualistic
changing their sex at 5 and 6 years old. Are you going to be kidding me? If I was a kid and I found this out later on in life, like that woman did, that Navy SEAL, she is furious as to having had that happen to her.
Well,
just furious.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And again, I go right back to where it is a breach of love. It is a breach of trust. And to me, we have so many people out there that are so sick and they're not getting the help that they need because they have normalized this. And that's a problem. They have normalized this. And of course, understand this lady that wants to transition back, which is going to be impossible, was part of SEAL Team 6.
Right.
You know, to me, I think it is not only egregious, but the fact that it was allowed, the fact that it happened, and yeah, it becomes a buyer's remorse for the kids because they really never had a chance to make the decision. They were told this is such a great thing. Oh, you'll be famous or you'll be whatever. But yeah, really it comes down to...
And usually their kids are the non-conformant ones that don't belong, don't fit into the cliques in schools. Nobody pays attention to them. They may have been bullied. So the next thing is, I'm going to get attention by switching my gender, and look at all the attention I'm going to get. Well, no, you're getting attention to make it to look at you as a bizarre person that doesn't fit into society. And then they realize later on in life when they get older, oh my God, what did I do? Why did I do this? What possessed me like this Navy SEAL did?
Yeah, it's abomination. You should not be doing this. It is wrong, morally, ethically, completely wrong. I don't want to hear the excuses. I don't want to hear anything. You were given what you were given by the greatest, the King of Kings, and that's it.
Well, you know, the problem is so many people, our society is allowed the tail to wag the dog.
Yes.
So all this sick, perverted beliefs, and, you know, I hate to say this. I mean, I have friends that are gay. As long as they keep it quiet and keep it public or private to themselves, that's their lifestyle. I'm not going to judge them at all. But to have them come out and push that on other people that don't want that, and then to, you know, make it a big public issue and a political issue is wrong. It's totally wrong. And to make it the norm out there as opposed to a man and a woman, that's the norm. That's what God made. That's what the Bible says.
That's right. And the part that blew me away, and you go to Genesis, all the way back, Genesis 3, Genesis 6, go back. God created man and from man woman as a help meet. And the bottom line is this, you know, actually it was after that, it was Genesis, well, it doesn't matter. But I will look it up right now, because now that I think about it, it was right after that. But the bottom line is this, is that it's not to be, and it wasn't to be. It was never meant to be, okay?
Let's put this. How do you procreate when you're the same sex? Okay, just riddle me this, Batman. How do you procreate when you're the same sex?
You don't.
It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. I don't know too many men that can get pregnant.
Yeah, it's.
And I don't know too many women that can get pregnant without a man, unless it's it's an artificial insemination. Okay, but think of the reality of that. The reality of it is, man, God created man and woman to be a unit, not this LGBTQ has gone off the rails. It's now socially accepted because it's a misfits in our society for the most part.
Well,
it's the people that haven't got recognition or acknowledgement for where they are. And they don't need that to prove their worth. That's the point. They don't need to do that to prove their worth. They're valuable on their own.
And the Lord said, right here, God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Of course, this is Genesis 15, chapter 2. Okay, but if you go on up to 18, and God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground, God formed every last beast of the field, and everything else was, you know, but he took a rib from Adam. And going back, it's real simple. Man and woman. And, you know, if you go to chapter 1, 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the flesh, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. There it is. Genesis, it's chapter 1, Genesis 27, right there. And in the same image, God created he, him, male and female, he created them. Male and female, Genesis 27. It's real simple here. And I mean, you know, it's that's it. And for whatever reason, well, we have decided that we're going to do what we want to do. It's not going to happen.
Well, the problem has been, you know, okay, the lifestyle of homosexuality has always been there throughout history, okay? The reality of it exists. And, you know, okay, who am I to judge on that? And I don't. The fact of the matter is, as long as it's kept private, it's not forced on me, it's not made me to have to accept it, it's not me that has to change my philosophy to condone that. I don't agree with it. I don't think that way. I like being a normal, what I consider a normal male who likes women. Okay. I like the concept of a man and a woman. That's it. That's me. Okay. Does that mean that's everybody out there? Maybe not. The reality of it is, but we don't need to go further. We don't need to make it the norm, and we don't need to be going, okay, you may be gay, but let's change your sex too. To make you more of that, and to make you more fit in to whatever society they believe is valid. Well, I don't agree with that. And these, you know, the things where men want to compete in women's sports, what a deal! They're always going to win. I wouldn't mind going out and competing in a woman's sport if I was 20 years old, just because I want to say that I relate to a woman at that age.
Well, part of the problem too was it's not just about competing. They have found some of these. We were watching the one where the girl said, hey, we're changing. And they told the girl from the volleyball team, they told her, she has every right to come in there. It's the law. She's protected under law. She leaned against the back wall and watched the girls change. Voyeurism.
You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
I am breaking up?
Yeah.
Let me check my settings, but nope, we're good.
Okay, well, are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on my mic. But the guy had stood in the back of the room and watched the girls dress and undress. Clearly, voyeurism. And the girls were uncomfortable with it. They were not comfortable.
As they should be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an excuse for these perverts to go into these women's dressing rooms and watch them get naked. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, I'm like any other normal man. I'd love to see a naked woman, but the problem is with that, I want to do it in the privacy of my own environment, not looking at somebody that doesn't want me looking at them. You know, that's perverted. It's simply perverted. And I'm not going to pull any strings about that. I just think it's plain flat perverted.
Well, it is. Listen, if God goes as far as to say in the Bible, if you're If you're even thinking about other women and you're married and everything else, it's wrong. It's exactly. Wrong. You have already fornicated. You have already done that because that is the thought that's in your heart and your mind. And you have already sinned.
You've already sinned.
Yeah.
And the problem is that our society has strayed away from what this country was founded on. God and country. That's what it was founded on. It was founded on the idea that God was, you know, under one nation under God. Not one nation under homosexuality, not one nation under LGBTQ, not one nation under
filth.
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotten so screwed up now. And I once, you know, on the back of a dollar bill, there's something real interesting that most people don't know about and have never even been taught. There is a eagle holding 13 arrows. Now, nobody knows what the meaning behind that was, why that's even on our dollar bill. Well, the story about that came about from the 13 colonies. We're all trying to figure out, should they be individual colonies or united? And so that debate was going on. An Indian chief came and spoke before Congress at the time and said, I want to show you something. And he took one arrow out of his quiver and he broke it in half. He goes, that's you individually. Then he took 13 arrows out of his quiver, held them together, and could not break them. He goes, united, you are stronger than individual. And what's happening right now in our country, we're taking those 13 arrows and separating them out.
And
making
them.
Our country weak. And making our country weak. Yes, exactly. Making them weaker because we want each person to have their own belief, their own ideals, and make them valid to the point that they supersede all the united philosophy we once had.
Now, we're doing that in everything. Listen, congratulations to Brittany Griner on getting out. However,
oh my God, that makes me so mad.
However, to leave Paul Whelan behind, who not only served for our country, who has done the things that he has done, who has been there longer, has
and
gone
who loves America,
and loved his country. Okay, Miss Griner, I hope somewhere along the line that you humble yourself, that you've learned from this experience, that not everybody, because you are a superstar, is going to let you do what you want. That there are rules throughout the world. We've watched this happen several times, and it's taken a lot of humbling from other ones. Michael Fay was another one that got caned years ago. You got put into a penal colony for hard labor and everything else. You can't go over to foreign countries and do the things that you did. Sit here, denounce the United States, kneel, create the uproar that you have, confuse children, and do everything because you can dribble a ball. I don't care. The bottom line is that you're supposed to be a responsible adult. I hope that this has humbled you. I know that it won't. And when we have other stars, such as LeBron James, who sits here and applauds stars for their poor behavior because of lack of education, lack of God. And just don't know good behavior. It's disgusting.
We see this all the time now. We see the tail wagging the dog, and nobody's doing a thing about it. That's the problem. Our society, you know, I went to a church here in Tavares, and I went up to the church minister, and I said, you know, let's see if we can put a million Christian march together to go to Washington to stress the fact that we want God back in our society. We want the Ten Commandments at the courthouses. We want the Ten Commandments in our schools. Let's put a million man march together. He goes, I'm not interested in doing that because I'm afraid I might lose my political or my tax exemption for the church. Okay. Well, then why are you leaving the church?
Yeah, to me, the things that are going on today, if people are not aware, listen, where's the moral compass from our leaders? Where is it? Ask yourself that question, because if they don't have it, and I've had this discussion with somebody, and I'm going to tell you, I've had this discussion with a few people, and prime example is I had one where a little girl, 10 years old, tragically, sadly, raped and abused as a prime example, okay, wasn't allowed to get an abortion in the home state she was in, had to go over state lines to get an abortion. However, they believe that a woman has a right to choose, so therefore she can have an abortion. And we've seen people that are on video saying, hey, I've had 22 abortions, and completely. What you give an inch, there's a mile. So what makes one baby any less special than another life, than another baby? Explain that to me.
Well, here's something else. Something else that's going on here is, first of all, the moral values of our society is go out there and have sex all you want. No ramification, no responsibility if it doesn't turn out well for you. You know, just throw the child out. You're okay. Our society approves that. And then it is possible in the United States to adopt a child.
But
it is harder than blazes.
There's a flip side. There's a flip side, though. What if you have a mother that have three children already, and her life's endangered? Then is it okay if you can save her life? And maybe the baby can't be saved. See, there's always a flip side to this coin. But at the same time, then how do you justify which life is more important? You know, which one is more special? You know, and I mean, we do. We have a problem, okay? And the problem was, what did we do before abortions? And everyone will say, well, there were back alley abortions, and there were butchers and everything. And I said, there weren't butchers and stuff. There's always been back alley everything. Back alley everything all the way down the line. Abortions and that did not come to fruition until just within the last probably 200, 300 years. Unless there were...
Not even that. So, it's less than that. And you take in consideration here. Let's evaluate that. Here's what stopped abortions initially was morality, morals. It was, when I was growing up, it was the most awful thing in our school if a girl got pregnant. She was ostracized. She was sent out, you know, the parents were just mortified. And, you know, this happened to a guy in high school. And he went off, he was so embarrassed that he went and joined the Navy to get away from the situation. And the parents were mortified. He ended up having to marry the girl, as he should have. And then we wonder what's wrong with our society that we have all these abortions. Well, then our society, our welfare system is designed, you get pregnant, you get money. You can't afford it? No problem. We're going to take care of it. We're going to give you a free house. We're going to give you free money. And you can sit on your butt at home and do nothing. How's that grab you for having extra babies?
Yeah,
that's what our society has come to.
It's getting that way even with everything. And it's just a free-for-all now. It's like the Wild West. And unfortunately, there's no rules, no laws. Or we're making laws and rules to protect the immoral people. And God
said... Exactly.
It's clear. What he says is clear. Turn away from your ways and come back to me, and you'll be forgiven. It's real simple. And we're not doing that. And we're all guilty of it. But here's the thing. At the end, the ones that have made that choice, they're going to be saved. Understand.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't mean we live perfect lives. Listen, we're the most terrible Christians that there are. So let's understand that now. Everybody in this world, nobody will measure up. Nobody. And here's the great thing that the pastor said this week. People think they're going to go on up to God. I've got questions. I want to ask you questions about this and that. Let me tell you something. You're not going up to God at all. Okay? You're going to fall head first right on the floor and start to worship and pray because of how powerful and glorified he is. You're not going to have time to ask him questions.
But let's get back to the politics, okay? The politics of our society, all these issues out there, okay, one being the fact of, okay, that
the fact of what's happening. Did I lose you, Jerry? I might have lost you.
This is the problem out there. Then we take in consideration, have you seen what's happening in Nevada now? Or Arizona, I'm not sure. It's Arizona or Nevada where the Kerry is still fighting. Found out that most of the voting were non-functional all in Republican areas. What did we think that what was going to happen if we continued to let the Democrats cheat like they've been cheating? You think it was going to stop? I knew Georgia. I knew Herschel Walker wasn't going to win in Georgia. There were a million mail-in ballots for that election. Give me a break.
Now, get your butts up and go on out and vote. Vote in person. Have an ID. Have your voter registration card as it was intended to be. If you're handicapped or you're crippled, then I'll tell you what, and you can't get on out, fine. Do a mail-in ballot. If you're a military person, do an absentee ballot. Hey, that's fine, especially if you're overseas or whatever else. But the rest of the able-bodied Americans, get up off of your seat and go and vote in person. Now, if you're not going to do that, then I'm not going to believe that it's legit. I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm disabled, I went. I took my 88-year-old mother, she went. I knew what she was gonna vote for ahead of time. And I still went. Because it's the right thing to do, it's the proper thing to do, it's the responsible thing to do. She has a voice too. I wore a uniform to make sure she had that right to vote, even if it's not the way I want her to vote. But that's the way it should be. But we went out together and voted. We showed up, IDs in hand, voter registration, and voted the proper way. Enough of this. Enough of these mail-in ballots. Let's get back to the way it was supposed to be and intended to be. It just blows my mind.
Well, the problem is that it's been this way for a long time. The Democrats... Well, the people in power can cheat, period. I don't care whether it's Republican or Democrat. They have the ability to get out there and cheat whichever they want. And, I told you a long time ago, I ran for Congress. And in my congressional race, two Republican congressmen came to me and told me they were going to make sure I didn't get elected because I wasn't going to vote the way they wanted me to vote. If I didn't vote their way, say what they wanted me to say, then they were going to make sure I didn't get elected. Well, that's what happened. I was in a 78% Republican district. The next day after election, voter fraud all out throughout the district. Did anybody do anything about it? Nothing. They don't care.
No.
And this was the Republicans telling me that I wasn't going to win in a Republican seat when I was representing the Republican philosophy. It's the people in power that make the power. And once you're in, you're pretty well locked in.
Like I said.
And it takes, it's like the guy I ran against last time. Michael Cloud in Corpus Christi, Texas. This guy said unequivocally, I'm only staying for two terms. And then I'm going to retire. Well, he's going on his third term already. And they seem to forget their word. Their word doesn't mean anything once they're in office. It's whatever they want their word to be. Because they've changed, well, they need me in there. They need me in there. No, they don't. They need somebody else that has a chance to make a difference. Are they making any difference? I don't know.
It depends what you're serving. It depends what you're serving. If you're going into politics and you want to serve your heart, soul, God, Christian-like things, or is it money? They're going in and serving
it's
money. So understand, power and money. Yeah, and it just, instead of serving the people with a good heart and doing everything, we have too many of them that are in there for one thing only, money. That's it.
It's always that. It's always that. Everybody that I've seen go into office, it's like this Tom, what was his name? Tom DeLay. And he was outside of Houston, East Houston. And he started off as a pest control company. And a pest control. Small, one office pest control. He came out with $25 million in his bank account after retiring from Congress. How does someone do that? Where's that money coming from? And why do they get to keep that money?
Because it's book deals and speaking sessions and, you know, the beautiful black plate dinners and everything. And they get all these different things, anything to gain power and money. And that's what it is. And they get helped along the way. They get trained. You watch those, AOC said, well, if I was a bad guy, look at her bank account today, folks. She told you what she was going to do. They trained her. She looked it up. They trained her. There she is.
Well, their whole premise is to make as much money as they can, and they don't care about the individual citizens. It's their personal pocketbook that the taxpayers are paying. They're using your tax money to spend their life the way they want to. I mean, okay, Nancy Pelosi just got caught the other day admitting that she had some insight into Visa when it was going public. And she goes, well, you know, I mean, it was knowledge that, and she was voting on the issues that were important to Visa.
Of course.
So here she is in a compromising situation, but she benefits from it financially. She made $5 million off the deal. Okay. I can't do that. You can't do that. It's called insider trading for us, but it's not for a congresswoman. Not at all.
Because
it's okay. It's perfectly acceptable.
Because we've let them get into a position of power and then make laws around that position of power saying that we can't be prosecuted or brought forth. It's the same thing. You know, everybody should know this. Do you know that you have the right to question those in power? You have the right to give them reproach.
Yes.
You have the right to question them. But you don't, do you? Because
you can't.
First of all, they've made it impossible to do that. Okay? They don't answer questions. And second of all, now it's turned around. You're working for them. They're no longer working for you. You're working for them. It doesn't matter how many times they lie, cheat, misrepresent themselves, or anything else. And it turns out you are working for them. It is a higher form of slavery for America. And that's what it is.
Exactly. Exactly. And the reality of it is we don't see anybody. Now, something just came up. This is kind of interesting. This just came up. I just saw it a minute ago. This leaked information document indicates that over 300 members of the far-right preliminary parliamentary oath keepers may be current or former DHS employees project on government oversight reports. Well, guess who these citizens are? They're loyal Americans that are trying to stop the corruptness in the government and bring it back to the old philosophy of America. And this is what they're trying to stop. And so they think they're patriots that are going in to try and stop what is the government's doing.
Well, that's because they're changing the wording to benefit them from the Constitution. They're playing with words. Okay? And they're saying, oh, no, that's not what that meant at all. It's very detailed. It was a well-thought-out document. Beautiful document. The problem is we have changed history as to our needs for those in power. They have changed history. Oh, well, you know, well, this, that's not what that meant. Yes, it is. That's exactly what our forefathers meant, because they came from a dictatorial and from a hierarchy and everything else. And they said, no more of this. We're not doing this. From now on in, the people are going to have the final word. When is the last time the people had the final word?
Well, they always say, if you don't like us, vote us out. You can't vote them out.
It's impossible.
That's the problem. It's impossible. You know, okay, here's a prime example. How can the average citizen come up with $500,000 to run a campaign?
Can't.
And think it's going to be viable, okay? The actual person goes out there. It's like me. When I ran for Congress in 2018, I was promised, if you will run, we will raise money for you. Promise. Given a solemn oath. You know how much money I raised from them? How much money they raised for me? Zero.
See,
zero.
God bless you, because I got to tell you, there is no way in today's world I would want to hold office in anything, because you know what? I have seen the evil before my eyes, and I just won't do it. I would not
do it.
I don't want to be around
it. Here's the point. Okay, here's the problem. When good people do nothing, what happens?
Nope.
This is what happens.
Let me tell you, good people will do something. It's called teach, spread the word, and everything else. That is doing something. The problem that we have is, no matter what, you are not going to stop evil here. It is going to go out, and it is going to run its course just as the Bible says it is. Period. I don't care what you do. You do whatever you want to do. You aren't going to stop it.
Okay, there you are. See, there's the problem. The problem is your belief you can't stop it. Okay, my belief was different. I believed that I really could make a difference if I got into office. And here's, you know, from a little aspect, okay, I may not gotten political change or policy changes, but I could have made a difference in the community. Twofold I would have done. I would have gotten out there and I would have gone to all the churches and said, we need to rally Christians together to stand up for what's right, and we need to protest or get elected officials elected that are Christian-based, okay? That's what I would have done. So therefore, you have to, you know, otherwise, you know, everybody goes, well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? How can I make a difference? Well, you can't make a difference sitting home on your butt doing nothing. That's a reality. So you have to get out there and make the efforts like I did. Did I step out there? Did I impact some people's lives? Yes. I got things done in the local community that I couldn't have done on my own had I not been running for office. You have to look at...
I mean, God bless you on that. I say God bless you on that. The problem is that regardless of your good heart, the people don't want that. You know what? They don't. God is very clear on this. I mean, you could go through Revelation on this thing. You could go through any part of the Bible that you want on this, from Old Testament till now. And the problem still comes to, no matter how many times, God has appeared in clouds over Mount Sinai after he brought them out in Exodus out of Egypt. And they could see the thunderings. They heard the word. And what did they do? They made a calf of gold and worshiped it because Moses was away. and lost their faith just that fast. They want gratification, power, and everything else. And the problem is that no matter what good people like you do, this world is still going to go to the very end, and God is going to come back and make it justified. So what did he ask us to do? Share the word, praise his name, follow his commandments as best as that we can, because we know we're going to fall short. But as best as we can. These people don't believe in that. They don't.
Well, but the whole point behind it is, you know, Michael, you've got to take in consideration. You got to start someplace. You got to start someplace. And if you just say somebody else is going to do it, or it's not going to have an impact, or it's not going to make any difference at all, then it won't. You're sitting there proving exactly that. Whereas people who are trying to make a difference, who are really getting out there and trying to say, if the message you carry out there is short-lived, someone's going to hear it. Someone's going to listen. And it may be one person that says, you know what? You've motivated me to get out and run for office or do something in the community, run for city council or something local, something where they can make a difference. And that happens. So you can't say, you know, it's not going to make a difference to anybody. Nobody's going to have any impact. It's not going to affect anybody. You got to wait till God comes back. Well, that's not true. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think
you are doing an effort. You are sharing his word. He didn't ask you to run for office. He didn't ask you to be a king. What he said was, go spread my message and follow my commandments and teach them. Use the scribes.
Right.
Use everything to teach them. But you can't do that when you're into politics. And the reason for it is, first of all, if I were to run, first of all, I'd need a lot of money, almost $1 million, maybe more, okay, just to run. Two, people are going to know, oh, well, you know, hey, this is a guy that reads his Bible every day, goes to church, and not just once a week and wears a badge. But he's imperfect, so they'll come ripping your past apart. And there might have been times in my past, and there were, that I did sin, that I did make mistakes and everything else. Okay? But they're not going to understand that. And they don't care about that. They will use that against you. We see it all the time. All the time
well,
we see
me.
It. And
it
I'm going to tell you, running on a Christian-type platform, let's say I wanted to go as an independent, to try to bring morality back. Look, the hypocrisy out there is, first of all, they don't trust anybody. You could teach them and talk to them till they're blue in the face and say, listen, we need to get back to this. You're going to get called a racist. You're going to be just ridiculed and everything else and ripped to shreds.
Okay, but here's the whole point that I'm making. You know, Jesus had the same thing happen to him. He was crucified for it. And he still kept that philosophy going. He kept that mentality going, kept trying to teach, trying to educate, trying to improve. Trying to get people to change their lives, okay?
And to tell the truth.
He stood up for what he believed. So what you're saying is, as I'm understanding, is don't even try.
No.
Because you don't stand a chance out there.
When God sent his son here to be a propitiation for our sins, Christ already knew he was going to die. That was the whole purpose of him coming here. He didn't come here and just to do that. He came to tell the truth about his Father, about God. That's number one. He already knew he was going to die. Put Christ out there today and ask yourself one question. I dare this to anybody out there. If Christ were born and alive today, in the flesh, by the way, not spiritual, in the flesh, would they crucify him again?
Sure they would.
That's right.
In a heartbeat. Okay, but the point being is, do you think God would go, I guess I'm not going to come back because of that? Do you think he'd do that?
No, he's coming back.
Come back knowing.
He's not coming back to shake hands.
That's the point I'm making. The point I'm making is, he believed strong enough and did that he knew what his end demise was going to be, but he still did it anyway, okay? And the whole point behind it is if you get out there and you run for an office trying to make a difference, to show the impact that goodness can prevail and that there are good people out there that have on high morals, high values, and high principles. That's what you're trying to show. You may not win the election. You may spend a lot of money, which I did. And the point being is, did I have any impact on people? Yes, I know I did. because I had people contact me later on and said, you know what? You changed my philosophy on my faith and gave me, reassured me that there is hope out there. There is a good God. Okay, so did I win the election? No. Why did I even make the venture, the effort to do it? It was because the long-range positive result ended up me impacting other people's lives.
And that's true, okay? For people like you, because you have a heart. But most of these politicians do not. And the people out there, listen, they'll drink the sand crawling to an oasis. You know that as well as I do. I mean...
Yeah, but you know, the point I'm trying to make is if we just give up hope, then we give up hope. We give up our lives. We give up everything. You can't just say, you know, I can't make a difference. I can't make a difference, because the first thing you said is I need to raise a lot of money and then they're going to attack me. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. If you're a man of principle, they're going to attack you. If you're a man of value, they're going to attack you.
They already do as a Christian.
Character. Well, exactly. And so do you not do it because of that?
No, that's exactly why I try to spread his word. That's why I said it's not that I'm sitting idly. I don't want you to make that mistake. I'm not. I use the experiences that I've gone through, how he has changed my life, and try to teach other people to do that. Do I need to sit into a political office and do that when I know the Prince of Darkness is running that because he puts the people into power? That's all he wants. You know, we can't forget. Steal, kill, and destroy. Steal hope, steal love, steal everything.
Okay. Do you believe there's not one Christian in Congress or the Senate? Not one? Is that what you believe?
I believe that if there is, that they are corrupt to the extent of power and money.
Why do you say that?
Because I think it's too, because we're human, no matter what, we're going to fall short and sin. And because I think it's too easy to fall into that political climate to where it becomes gray areas, to where you can no longer see.
But see, okay, here you are, then this is the problem. Automatically believing that everybody is corrupt out there in politics.
Well, they've proven
okay?
it.
Okay, so, well, do you know every single congressman personally?
Well, no, I know the one, I seem to know the ones that have made the major majority impact of all the decisions made. So if they're accepting the decision that the bad people are doing, then they are a part of it. Yes.
Okay, but do you know in Texas there's a religious group of politicians that meet religiously every week to try and see what good things they can impact in the politics. Every week. It's a Christian group. Well, that Christian group is also in Washington too. There's a minute group of, you don't hear about them because the press doesn't want you to know about them. So nobody's going to publicize it. Nobody's going to make them a pinnacle of interest because they're Christians. And that's the problem. They're fighting against the corruptness and the evil that persists in Washington and in our political governments. In Texas, there are, let me see if I can find a religious group called State legislators.
I mean, think about it. You even said that the one preacher is worried about losing his 501c3, his tax exemption. Why? Because he's making a decision. Should I protect the people in the church and the church itself, or buck the system and then have it defeat it as a long haul? I understand his point from both sides. You know? I could see the point from both sides, and that, so he's afraid to do anything.
Yeah, well, here's an article right now that says, God and Governing, How Texas Legislators' Religious Beliefs Guide Their Lawmaking. There are groups out there trying to make a difference that are in office, that are working towards Christian values, and are stopping a lot of things. Okay, look what happened in Texas alone. They stopped the abortion issue long before anybody else was doing it. Florida did the same thing. Okay, who did that? Do you think that a corrupt politician did that? That is run by only greed and money? No, these people were at big risk of getting kicked out of office because the subversives, the politicians that, you know, the communities didn't want them in office because they were Christians.
I think that the Bible Belt areas, South Carolina, and among the, you know, few anymore. Of course. Do we have good people in office? I think that we have a few good people in office. Yes, I do. It's hard to hold an office and be true to Christ God, and I'm going to tell you that's a fact. We have less than 46% of the people that even believe in God anymore, Jerry.
But I still disagree with you. I disagree with the fact that you're categorically, automatically blanking in everybody that's a politician as anti-Christian philosophy. That's just not right. I know people that are strong Christian values, that are legislators, that are working and striving every day to modify the laws in their state so that we protect religious beliefs. So I disagree wholeheartedly that they got corrupted. They didn't get corrupted. What they're doing, I'll give you a prime example. The money they're raising, they're contributing it back to the community to empower religious philosophy and beliefs. So they're not just taking the money and going, ha ha, I'm taking a vacation to the Bahamas. They're actually taking the money that they have generated from political contributions and donating it back to the community to help the community strengthen the religious values.
So even if I backtrack on my words and I say, okay, there's a select few that are probably good that would go over to the Galapagos Islands and wipe the oil off of, you know, bedridden fowls, you know, that have gotten polluted. Okay, fine. There are. But when you look at the majority, when you look at the overall statistics and everything else, I'm sorry. You could see where the country has gone in the last 20 years alone.
Okay, but here's the point. The point is there are a lot of people trying to bring it back to square one again. And they're making efforts, and they're making concentrated efforts. And I saw it in Texas when I was in Texas. I mean, I saw these strong, strong Christians saying, here's the values we need to get back to. What do we need to do? How do we push the legislation in the state to do that? And that's what they're working towards.
Well, how did they get elected then?
They, by the grace of God, they got elected, and they went under the values of that value. And the people that elected them were along the same mentality. That's how they got elected. You think everybody's elected is corrupt? I just don't believe that. Then you would infer that I was going to be corrupt if I got elected.
No, I said there are a few. Understand, I said not everybody has a good heart like you, if you remember. I mean, I could play it back, but yeah, it does. I made it very clear. Not everybody goes into it with the good heart that you go into it. When they go into politics, understand something, okay? They're going into it for a gain. There's a personal gain there. It's not. It's
No, I disagree.
I don't mean like you are, Jerry, or the select few. But when I see people like Nancy Pelosi, when I see McDonald, and I see all these other people that have been there for all these years, and even some of these young people.
But that's not everybody. Okay. And we're out of time because we've gone over our hour.
We got time.
Okay, well, I've got some things I need to take care of tomorrow, so I don't have the time, the luxury to spend another hour on the radio. But we'll take this up next week.
Absolutely.
This is an issue that I totally categorically disagree with you on.
No, that's okay. I mean, listen, that's the whole point of the show is there's not every time you and I are going to agree on it, but I do want to hear your sides on it. I respect that. And, you know, I want you to hear my sides on it. And that's the beauty of the show. But, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll go through it and take a look at it next week.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Michael, as always, it's good to talk to you on the show. And we'll see how it plays out next week.
You know what? It's an honor and a privilege every time I get to talk with you and spend time with you on the show. So I can't thank you enough for that. And
well, I feel the exact same way about you. It's an honor, privilege, and I appreciate the fact that you are a godly man and you maintain that strength because so many people don't.
Yeah, that's because I fail in everything else.
Well, you know, but see, the other side of that coin is, okay, my faith has helped me throughout my life.
Yes, mine,
and
it's, yeah.
And made me, okay, have I been successful in my life? I believe so, because God has given me not an abundance of stuff. He's made me healthy, and he's given me energy, and he's given me my faith to believe that he does have an impact on my life. And to me, that's the message I want to convey.
No, so anyway, and I get that. Yeah, I get that. And I hope you do run again, because, you know, I'd vote for you. So,
well, that's long gone now. Yeah. I'm too old for that. So anyway, you take care, and I'll talk to you next week.
Jerry, God bless, my brother, and thank you so much. Always an honor and a privilege. And I can't tell you how I love having these conversations with you. So,
well, it's conversations that people are saying out there that they, you know, but they don't get to hear them because the press doesn't publicize them. That's where we should make a difference. And we will.
And we will. Okay. That's what we're here for. All right, my brother.
You take care. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And it's all